All right, so saying it because I need to. Proverbs 23, chapter 19. What day is it? What year is it? Proverbs chapter 23, verse 19. What's the matter? That's the baby's matter? So, oh, sweet pea, I know. Oh, sweet, I love you. Well, God, thank you again for your word, and thank you that it's true, and you give us wisdom. And we know that all real wisdom flows from you and points us to you. So, God, would you point us to you through your word and your spirit tonight? In Jesus' name, amen. Another time for my sons. Who are my sons? That's right. You can be my daughters, too. And who's God's child? That's right. We're God's children. So listen to this. Okay, just making sure we didn't read that one. Hear, my son, and be wise, and guide your heart in the way. You know that we have to guide our heart in the way? That our heart kind of wants to go all over the place, right? But we need to keep it on the right track. It's easy to get off track in life, to have a purpose, have a goal, and then all of a sudden, squirrel, and you start going another way. Or all of a sudden, bag of chips, and you're off the diet. Or, well, I don't know what it is for you. Might be something simple, it might not be, but we need to keep our heart on the right track. We need to guide our heart. The world tells us that our heart should guide us. No, no, no. Guide your heart. Guide your heart in the way. And he says this. This is the way you guide your heart around these things. He says, do not be among wine bibbers. What's a wine bibber? Someone who's just drinking all the time. They love the wine. They swirl the wine. They're drinking it. They love it. They live their life for it. They're drunks. Oh no, it's just 10 a.m. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Everyone has a glass of wine all day. It's good for your heart. It's good for your liver. No, no, no. Do not be among them, the Bible says. Don't be among them. And you know what they even called Jesus, right? They called Jesus a wine bibber, right? He wasn't. They says also among riotous eaters of meat. Now, I don't know that we have that this problem today. We have riotous non-eaters of meat, where they riot and they get mad about the meat on the shelves. But it's this idea of they're having a feast. Meat is expensive food. They're having this expensive party. It's a riotous party. Back in New Jersey, they had a place called, they might have it elsewhere, Medieval Times, right? Where you would go and you'd celebrate the different teams. They would joust like it was the Medieval Times. And you would eat food. And I don't know if they threw it on the floor there. I actually never got to go, sadly. It's in the movie, The Cable Guy. But in the old days, they would eat food right off the bone and they'd throw it on the floor, right? That before napkins were invented, they had bread and bread was your napkin, right? That is riotous. Think of the wild party, all these rough and wild and tumble people eating, throwing food everywhere, having a wild party, being wine bibbers. Don't be a part of that. Don't be a part of these crazy, lavish, wild parties. It's that simple. Especially in high school, people invite you to wild, crazy parties. My parents aren't home. Come on over. Let's drink and let's eat and make a mess. And hopefully the cops don't get called on us. Christian, wise person, child of God. My sons, definitely don't go. If you value the ability to sit down, do not go. Because if you go, you will never be able to sit again. Thanks to me. He says, "For the why now, why, Dad? Why would I not go to those places, Dad?" He says, "For the drunkard and the glutton, the person who's drunk all the time or drinks a lot, the person who's a glutton who just eats all the time," and I think it's a little bit different in our society as far as the context, where we can be gluttonous without being a riotous wine bibber, right? But we eat too much. Some of us do. He says, why? Because they will come to poverty. And drowsiness will clothe the man with rags, right? They will come to poverty. They will spend all their money on wine, all their money on partying, all their money on wild living, all their money on stuff that's luxurious that goes to waste. Remember the prodigal son? What did he do? He spent all his money on riotous wine bibbing, meat eating, and all his fake friends. He thought they were his friends, but they were only his friends until the wine ran out, until the money ran out. And he ended up where? and poverty. Got to be wise with our money. Mommy and I, well, Ash and I were calculating the cost of the chickens versus the cost of eggs lately, you know, and coming down to the average price per day. And it's wise to know where every penny goes. But you'll come to poverty. I remember, man, this is, and with my kids here, this is interesting that I'm not to say this. But I can remember going out to drink and going out with my friends on a Friday night or Saturday night, going out to dinner, going out to bars, or going out to the city, New York City. And I don't know what it is, but you're like, because it's 11 o'clock on a Friday night and I'm in New York City, I'll spend $20 on a beer. I'll spend $25 on a cocktail. There's like $1.50 worth of alcohol in that thing. Why are you spending all your money on that? For the atmosphere? For the part? It's ridiculous. And I'd wonder why I was broke all the time. Because I was spending hundreds of dollars on the weekend going out for a couple hours. And this other one, drowsiness will clothe the man in rags, right? A lot of times when you party and drink, unless you've got a real problem, it's at night. You stay up all night. You go to one club, you go to another club, you go to another one and say, last call, this one's closed. Well, which one is still open? Let me go to that one. And you're out all night. I remember going to parties, partying all night. The sun would come up, you'd party a little bit more and then go get breakfast at IHOP. So what happens when it's time to go to work? I'm drowsy. I'm not gonna do what I need to do. I'm gonna call out of work. I'm not gonna go to class. It's part of why I didn't graduate, because I was partying all the time. And drowsiness will clothe a man with rags, right? That we need to go to sleep when we go to sleep and get up when we get up, like we talked about on Sunday, that we're meant to go to sleep at night and get up in the day. And sometimes you have to work a night job, don't get me wrong. But in general, this is not the way to live life. It's not wise. Your heart's going to say, this is what I want to do. But it's not the way to go. Saying 17. Oh, this is another good one, guys. Listen to this. This is for all my kids. And all of us as God's kids. It says, listen to your father. Why? He gave you life. Why do you listen to your parents? Because you wouldn't exist if it wasn't for them. And some of us are a little mad. God, parents, did you really have to have me? I wouldn't have to go to school and do homework and pay bills if you didn't have me. Thanks a lot. But sincerely, we should be glad about being alive. And why do we listen to our parents? Because we gave you life. There's that saying, I brought you into this world and I'll take you out. That I gave you life, and if you don't spend it the right way, that's it. Now, I'm not going to take you out of this world. That's in God's hands. But I'm going to do what I can because I gave you life, and I've been around a little bit longer than you guys have. It says, do not despise your mom when she is old. Mom's got a long way to go before she's old. But don't despise her when she's cranky and wearing green sweatsuits and living in St. Petersburg and has used computers longer than you're alive and doesn't know how to still use them. Don't despise your mother when she's my mother and that old. But my mom's great. I said the other day, I joked, she asked how church was going, and I said some things that were going on and how good they were. And I said, the one thing we need, though, is we need another older couple, perhaps a transplant from Florida. And she said, well, one's willing to go. The other one we have to pray about. That'd be great. I don't think my mom would like the winters here. She was cold in June, as you put the heat on in June. But that's okay. Don't despise your mom. Why? Because she's your mom. Dad maybe gave you life, but mom made sure you stayed alive. She changed your diapers. She fed you. She burped you. Don't despise your mom. Take care of our parents. And that's what we've lost in our society, is taking care of our parents when they're older. Some of them are a little too cranky and ornery to take care of and don't want the help. But sincerely, I think a life would be better if it was quieter and multiple generations in a home. Verse 23, buy the truth and do not sell it. Can you really buy truth? No, Jesus says the truth will set you free, right? The truth buys you. The truth sets you free. But it's making the point of spend whatever you have to spend, time, money, resources, sell your friendships, whatever it takes, in order for you to find truth. Don't let anything get in the way of you finding truth. And all truth will lead you to Jesus. If you are really searching for truth and someone is really says, I'm looking for truth, man, I'm interested in truth, they will always end up with Jesus. And I know many of us can attest to that. But he says, don't sell it. Whatever it took for you to obtain a truth in life, don't give that truth away. Don't give up on that fact of life. Trust in it and hold on to it. He says also wisdom, instruction, and understanding. So the four things, truth, right? It's what's true. There's a fact of life that things are true and things are false. Something cannot be both. It's either true or it's false. There are absolutes in this world, despite what they'll tell you. Wisdom. Wisdom is knowing truth and then applying truth, right? It's knowing the right thing to do and then doing it. Instruction and understanding, right? If you learn how to do something, you know, there's the joke about guys getting the instruction book and throwing the instruction book out. I got I spent some YouTube and freelance money on a desk the other day, and it was probably dumb. Maybe if the wise person in me wouldn't do that right now, especially right now. But it is what it is. I bring it up to confess that, but also to make the point that the instructions weren't in the box. I didn't see them. There was so much cardboard, so much packing. I thought it was in one, and it wasn't. Now, could I have looked at the box and maybe surmised how to put it together? Sure. But maybe it would have been a little wobbly. Maybe I would have had to take things apart and put it back on. In fact, I put one leg on backwards because I got flipped around. But I got the instructions off HomeDepot.com on my iPad. And I looked at the instructions. Don't get rid of the instructions in life, guys. Especially with your Legos. How can you rebuild it? I remember trying to build Legos from pictures as a kid, and I could get the outside, but I had no idea what it looked like on the inside. So when you get taught something, remember it. If I tell you something, you're like, oh, Dad, why do I need to know how to change the Knuten valve on the tractor right now? I'm never going to use it. Remember it. One day you'll be older on the side of the road. Remember, I remember Dad told me how to change the Knuten valve, and it'll help. There's no such thing. But you get the point. Don't give up your understanding. Verse 24, the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. You want me or your dad to rejoice? Be righteous. It's that simple. You want to make your dad proud? Be righteous. I'm proud. I'm very proud. Mia knew that. She said, you've been proud twice today. After the spelling being Kempo. And he who fathers a wise child will have joy of him. When you guys, like we said the other week, when you guys, my kiddos here, when you guys do the right thing and say the right thing, nothing beats that. I can't buy that. It says, your father and your mother will be glad, and she who bore you will rejoice. Again, like, we really don't honor and respect our parents enough in our society. We think that, at least as children, and most kids don't respect their parents, and it's a shame how much wisdom is lost. You go into your teenage years and you reject your parents, you reject their input. Whether they're righteous or not, it's not necessarily the fact, but they've been around the block a little bit. They might have had some good advice. Even if it's bad advice, we should still take it and say, well, that was the wrong thing to do. I'm not going to do it. But why would you waste 20, 30 years of your life ignoring their advice just to get to the point where you're now in your 40s or 50s and go, you know what? Dad was right. Mom was right. If I just listened 25 years ago, would have saved myself a lot of trouble. But if you want to make your parents proud, they'll be proud when you do the right thing. Fortunately, these days, a lot of parents are proud when you do the wrong thing. But we won't go down that road. Saying 18, verse 26, my son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways, right? The father is asking here that watch me, look at me. And he says, give me your heart. He says, pay attention to me. Let your, you know, when you go to a movie or you're reading a book or you're doing something you really like, you're into it, right? Your heart's into it. Sometimes you go to a good movie, you sit in the right seat, the sound's right, there's not someone behind you burping the whole time. You get lost. You forget you're watching a movie and you're in the movie. Your heart's in it. Whoa. And then you snap out, like, oh man, I got to get back into it. There are times like that in books too. We need to pay attention. And a good way to learn is by watching, observing. And not just watching, but watching with that heart. And to say that if my dad is doing this, if you have a good dad, you know, and you can learn from a bad dad too. If you look intently with the right heart and you're desiring to be godly, you know God, and you see your dad, as just this example says, doing the wrong thing, you can intently look and say, that's not the right way to go. I'm going to do it the other way. Not out of rebellion, but going, I can still learn even though they're not doing it the right way. But how much better if you have a dad who knows the right thing to do, you can watch and learn. You know how I learned a lot of things I know how to do? By watching. By watching someone else. I didn't read a book. I watched a YouTube video. I'm YouTube certified. You watch intently. You get into it. You watch. And as you watch, then you do. Now, it's nice to have someone who's not in a YouTube video to say, no, you're turning the wrench the wrong way. No, don't cut that line. You'll get shocked, right? Like, you don't have that luxury just by watching. But when you have a father, someone to look on, pay attention. Pay attention. Let your eyes observe my ways. And this is interesting that Solomon wrote this, because Solomon notes, did he reach this? Are we on? I know, but I didn't know if we switched to one of the other dudes already. I think they're later. But he says this. He says, for a prostitute is a deep ditch, and a seductress, is that a spelling bee word? Your word is seductress. Can I have a definition, please? A seductress is a narrow pit. She also lies in wait as for prey and increases the transgressors among men. Now, I've got my children here in this room, but the Bible says it, so I need to talk about it. Hopefully, I'm wise in how I address it. But a prostitute is not a good lady. She's a lady who sells her kisses and her hugs and her affection for money. It's one of the oldest jobs in the world, and it's despicable. Your body, your heart, your soul, doing those things makes you one with another person. And it's not to be sold. It's not to be bought either, my son. She doesn't love you. She doesn't care about you. She just wants your money. And she's a deep ditch. Who here likes to fall? Maybe out of an airplane with a parachute one day. But who here likes to get hurt? Who here likes to trip and scrape your knee? Who here likes to hurt your back or throw your back out? Not me. Who wants to fall into a deep ditch? You ever try and get out of a rut? It's tough. It's muddy. There's this video of this guy who was stuck in the muddy median on the highway, and it's kind of a big, wide ditch, and he was just trying to get out and couldn't get out and going back and forth. Well, that's the comparison. And a seductress, right? Maybe, I don't know what the actual Hebrew word is here, so I'm not going to do a deep word study. But seductress is, maybe she's not asking for your money, but she's a girl that you wouldn't want to take home to mom. Or he's a guy that you wouldn't want to take home to dad, girls. They just want you to hug and kiss them. And they do everything they can to convince you to do that. And it's not for money, but they can't be trusted. Think Delilah, right? Delilah was a seductress. What did she get out of Samson? Samson, I love you. Oh, Samson, you're so big and strong. Oh, Samson, how can you not tell me the secret to your strength? And he was like, okay, cut my hair off. And what happened to him? Got his eyes poked out. Became a slave, and eventually he died. It says she's a narrow pit, that there's no way out. It's like a prison. You get stuck in a relationship with a bad person, especially, there's like charts about crazy ladies, right? That the prettier they are, the crazier they can be. But sincerely, right? Like, who? The Bible's full of this stuff. Who wants to live in a house with someone who's crazy? Man or woman. She lies in wait as for her prey and increases the transgressors among men. That is saying this to your children, the father says. He says, watch out for the ladies. You become a teenager, you start looking at the ladies. You become a teenage girl, you start looking at the boys. You're just going to get yourself in trouble. And the wrong type of people are going to go after you. The wrong type of person is the one who's going to say, hey, chase me, Mr. Boy. It's true. They don't care about it. They'll tell you all sorts of sweet nothings to convince you. Mm-mm. She lies in wait as for prey. She doesn't care. She just wants to conquest you. Who's ready to move on?
I am.
Good. Let's go on. Woo! Let's go on. Yeah, yuck is right. And it's sad. And it's gross. But remember that. This is the thing. You're like, Dad, I don't even know this now. But the day will come and you'll need to listen. Saying 19, who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has babbling? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Woe, there's problems, sorrow, sadness, depression. Who has contentions? Who gets in fights? Who has problems in life that they can't get over? Who is babbling? They're just, blah, what did you say? Blah, 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 blah. Who has wounds without cause? Meaning they have bruises, they have cuts, but how did I get that? Why is my arm in a cast? Who has redness of eyes? You have the visine. Those who tarry long at wine. Those who seek mixed wine, like a mixed drink, like a cocktail. Right? You guys are all, some of you are young, some of you are not so young. But you drink? Or all you put this in, you do drugs? You smoke pot? Get red eyes, get blurry eyes, you're all, dude. Ask me how I know. There's some of my friends I remember back in the day that would black out. They would drink so much where they wouldn't even remember what they did or what happened. Why is my car wrecked? I've seen videos of people who are drunk and they've killed other people and they're still drunk and they're chained to the hospital bed. And I'm like, why am I chained here? Don't tarry long at the wine. And wine back in the day, I get it. You had water in it. Looked like mud. You know, I don't know how you filter it a little bit. Wine was kind of a good choice. You didn't have refrigeration, so you let the grape juice sit a little bit longer. Today we have options. Today we don't need to drink wine like they used to. Now, I'm not going to say that you can't have a glass of wine, but the question is, the Bible is clear about don't be buzzed. Don't be under the spirit of anything else. Don't be under the spirit of alcohol. Be under the spirit of God. Where is that line? And is it worth getting close to that line? Or is it not? I'll leave it to you. But those who have problems, those who have sorrows, I remember friends and I would get real depressed when, as soon as you turn the alcohol on, it's like, oh, the depression comes out. Those who tarry long at wine, those who seek mixed wine. And verse 31 says, do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly, right? Like people who taste wine, what are they? What's sommelier? Yeah. I couldn't remember that word a couple months ago when I said it. I was like, but like if you've ever seen them on TV or they have a little glass, like this wine glass is shaped the way it's shaped for a certain reason, for the aroma and for the tasting and the smelling and all that stuff. And they swirl it around the glass to watch it swirl. And it's like, ooh, it's red and ooh, look, and ooh, it's white. And they can look at it and smell it and sip it, right? It looks good. It's a lot like that seductress. A lot like that prostitute, maybe. Depends where you're going, I guess. Some of them, I don't know how they make it anyway. Not that I would know personally. But you look at this wine, and it's trying to seduce you. Ooh, it's red. Ooh, I've heard good things about it. Ooh, it's expensive. Ooh, it's aged. Ooh. Ooh, it smells disgusting, but people like it, so this must be a good smell. A side note, beer. I was never a huge beer fan, especially the cheap stuff. Just, it tastes like what I imagine pee to taste like. And I'm like, well, everyone else is drinking it, so I must try. But don't look on the wine. Why? Because next verse. At last, it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. You drink it. You drink too much of it. You get teeth in you. You ever been bit by an animal? You guys haven't. Have you been bit by an animal?
Oh, yeah.
I've been bit by an animal. It's like, oh, all of a sudden, you're like, what is that pain? Oh, it's teeth in me. It's fangs in me. There's blood, or it's a cat scratch. Everything was fine. I remember, here, I'll tell you this story. You guys like stories when I was little. I was probably not much older than you, Timmy. Definitely a little bit younger than you, Alicia. And we were at a friend's house. I don't know, it was a Bible study or something my mom was at, or I don't know where we were. But there was a white cat, and it was under their deck. And I was like, oh, a kitty. Crawled over to it, reached out to it. I don't know, I remember it bit me or scratched me or something, but it was blood and pain, and it's like a sharp pain that's unlike anything else. And ever since that day, I've hated cats, and rightfully so. Remember, the Egyptians loved cats, and they enslaved God's people, so. How's that for superior theology? But that's like wine. Drugs. Ooh. It looks good. Everyone says it's real good. And then you're bit. Verse 33. This is interesting here. Hopefully we'll get to the end of the chapter. I'm dwelling too long on the wine bibbing. It says, your eyes will see strange things, and your heart will utter perverse things. You know that they have something called beer goggles? And I'm teaching you. You guys are like in elementary school, and you're learning about all this stuff. But there was a saying about that, right? That like, you'd be drinking, and you get your beer goggles on. Things would begin to look good. That if you didn't have the alcohol in you, basically like picture the beer bottle up to your eyes, right? Like you drank the bottle, and you're now looking through the bottle, and the glass of the bottle is distorting what you're looking at. Oh, that looks good. You know, a lot of times guys would begin to talk to girls that they thought were pretty because they had a few beers, but then when they were sober, oh, I don't like her at all. She's 84 and full of wrinkles. Same thing. Not just for the ladies or the guys, but also ideas. You would never do that if you weren't drunk. As soon as you start to drink, that sounds like a great idea. Why don't we go walk on top of that ledge? Why don't I do a handstand in the middle of traffic? How about we... You start thinking things are good ideas or not. You start seeing things that aren't there. You start hallucinating. Your eyes will see strange things. Your heart will utter perverse things. You begin to say dumb things. You begin to say weird things. It's clear the Bible talks about it being another spirit, right? That you become under the spirit of the alcohol. The alcohol begins... It's not like you're possessed by like a demon, but you're possessed by the alcohol, and you begin to say things that maybe you never would have said before. You have this, most of us, except for my friend's not listening, I wish he was, but we always joke with him, he doesn't have a filter. But a lot of us have a filter where something happens and we'll say something back or we won't say something back. He doesn't have that filter. He just says whatever's on his mind. And alcohol will do that to you. It takes away what's called your inhibition. The things that the part of you, the wise part of you that says, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to say that. That's dumb. That's going to get me punched. That's going to get me arrested. When you're drunk, you'll go up to the biggest guy on the block and go, you're a wuss. And then you get decked. You wake up the next day. Why am I bruised? Why am I knocked out? Why am I in the hospital? Oh, you begin to do dumb things. And that's what the Bible says here. Like, don't punch your Bible, but one of the sound effects. I can remember getting very inebriated on things and having the weirdest conversations, coming up with the strangest things, and God in his grace and mercy used that to bring me to him. I used to get drunk and do drugs and read the Bible and try and come to the truth, and God one day while I was out camping took it away from me. I should have been high as a kite, and I was as sober as they said in Back to the Future 3, a priest on Sunday. My friends were all high and I wasn't. I just remember going, wow, like, okay, this is really strange. And what happened that week? I came to know God. He had to do that to me to get my attention. But the point is these things destroy you. They bite you and quickly. And he says, yes, verse 34, you will be as he who lies down in the middle of the sea and he who lies on the top of a mast, like the top of the boat, right? He who lies in the middle of the sea. Man, you would just do dumb things when you're drunk. if we watch half those fail videos, half of them are people drunk, falling over themselves, doing something stupid. You go lie in the middle of the sea, it's raining, and you're in a puddle going, I love to swim. Isn't the pool great? Come swimming with me. No. You're out of your mind. And the guy who lies in the middle of the sea, or the guy who lies at the top of the mast, right at the top of the boat, he says, they will have stricken me, you will say, and I was not sick. You have beaten me, and I did not feel it. When I will awake, I will yet seek it again. He's saying this spirit of alcohol, spirit of drugs, spirit of these things. And there's a whole nother talk about that. We could do another time for the nuance there. But makes you think you're above it all. It's an escape. But then a lot of times people think, like I said, the guy picks a fight, right? He thinks he's bigger than the other guy. And so he picks a fight. He thinks he can get away with anything. I can drink. I can get drunk. I can drink at 10 in the morning. I can have a couple beers and drive. It's no big deal. You begin to think you're invincible on it because it's deceiving you. It's tricking you. And you might get away with it a couple times. You might function a while, but eventually you're going to have that accident. Whether it's you crash your car, you lose your job, you hurt your family, you hurt yourself. Right? Picture the guy on the alcohol on the top of the boat going, look at me, I can drink and I'm fine up here. I'm not falling off. And even after he falls asleep drunk, he says, when I awake, I will seek it yet again. That alcoholism is real. And when the people become addicted to it, it wasn't the first time they drank. I mean, sometimes the seed is planted there, right? I can remember doing some bad things and going, wow, I'm never doing that again because that is I could feel the pull this has on me. It's by the grace of God I didn't continue doing those things. But the guy who's lost his family, lost his job, killed someone in a car wreck, I don't think it was the first time he drank. Believe me, it's out there. But the first time he drank, it might have been a beer at a party, or maybe his parents gave him a glass of wine because they were drinking it. That's fine at our house. And then it became a beer with friends at a party, and then it became a bigger party. And then it said, well, it's Thursday night. Mom's not home, I'll have another one. And then it's another one, and another one, another one, another one. Until they have to drink all day just to get through the day. And I could show you videos of intervention. Where someone's so hooked on it, so destroyed by it, so bitten by it, so enslaved by it, that they wake up in the morning and they can't function until they have another one. Another alcohol. Wake and bake. Wake up and have another joint. Do another drug. And the worst part is they say, I'll seek it yet again. It's nothing wrong here. And that's the worst thing about it, is that those goggles don't come off until it's too late sometimes. Those goggles stay on. I'm getting away with it. It's not a big deal. Yes, I'm losing my family, but they just don't care about me. Yes, I lose my job, but I hated it anyway. Because you're so in love. You've been so seduced by this substance. And the Bible is clear that we should be full of the Holy Spirit. You know, I remember getting high and drunk all the time, looking for joy, looking for peace, looking for love, looking for acceptance. And there was a certain measure in that, and sitting around and drinking with buddies or going to the bar. But it wasn't until Jesus came into my life. It wasn't until the Holy Spirit filled me that I knew what real joy was, real peace was. That my guilt could now not just be covered, but could be washed away. That the relationships I had were longer than just at the bar, but they were a lifetime. And they really cared about me, even when the alcohol ran out, even when there was no more weed. And I remember, I'll put it this way as we close, I remember not long after becoming a Christian in 2003, being with other young people in our early 20s in a basement, standing around with a little cheap boombox and a CD of Passion or something, and worshiping and praising God in the basement together, singing songs like, I can dance in the river, yeah. And this one by Charlie Hall, that's up to my ankles and my knees, like walking in the river, God. And the high, not to be crass, but to put it in that term, that high, the spirit of that, of God's Holy Spirit, was so much higher than any drug I did. It was so much sweeter than any alcohol. It was so much It was life. The other things, I was tasting death. And it was tricking me, making me think it was life, but it was death. It was poison. It was destroying my brain cells. It was destroying my lungs. This was filling my lungs, fixing my brain, writing my thoughts. And that's the Spirit of God. And I think many of us, even in the Christian world, don't understand that we can be full of God's Spirit. The Bible commands us, don't be full of wine, which is dissipation, but be full of the Spirit of God. Because that there is a buzz. There is a drunkenness. There is a joy that God provides for us. And it's not crass. It's not drunk in the Spirit like some would suppose. Because you have, instead of being absolutely drunk, you are this soberer than the soberest priest on a Sunday and full of so much joy. And God, that's what God wants for us, for to be under the control of His Spirit, not of anything else, no matter what it is. Energy drink, caffeine, nicotine, or worse. So with that, my sons, my daughters, my friend, let's live for God. Let's put on our Bible goggles and see things the way that God sees them, right? And not see things the way that some stale, fermented substance does, right? Amen? God, thank you for your love and your word. We pray that you just fill us your Spirit and give us just a taste of that joy. When we're broken, when we're hurting, God, we need an escape. And God, to avoid our problems, isn't it? But to be forgiven of our sin and to be assured of our hope and a future in you and know that you're with us. And the emptiness that we feel, maybe why we turn to those things, God, can be taken away by your Spirit, and you fill us with love and bring us real friends and real companionship. So anyone listening, God, would you work that in them? For my children here, would you help them remember as they grow older, not my words, but your words and your truth, and not just remember the words on a page, but taste and see and know how good you are and how good your wine is. And we look forward to drink with you anew in the heavens, but we're thankful that we get to get a taste of that heavenly wine through your Spirit. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen. So may God bless you and keep you, and his face shine upon you. And yeah, love you. There is a vineyard of the Lord. There is a vineyard for our soul. With all our troubles left behind the door, we drink first light until the door.